Simon Shin Yud Beis begins with, as we discussed Monday, kind of the sanctity of contract, the idea that when you have a binding contract, a binding lease, no matter what happens, the master has a problem, his own house fell down, he's homeless, needs a house, it's too bad. Once they've entered into a contract, contract cannot be broken for almost any reason. The Shach brings briefly a tshuva of the Ramah. The Ramah says, so too, if the tenant or the tenant's wife, Mrs. Tenant, gets sick, even if he hasn't even taken possession yet, again, the contract is binding. The landlord can say, I don't want you in here now that you are sick. And he says, look in the Ramah, who was Marich on this point. Tshuva is actually a fairly long tshuva, it's several pages. And Sivas, first of all, points out right away that the Shach omitted, either deliberately or just by being brief, omitted a key point of the case. The case was that it was a contagious disease. What is the landlord's objection to a sick tenant? Shach doesn't really explain. The Nesiva says the objection was that the tenant's disease was contagious. At least that's what the landlord claimed. And the case seems to have been, the language is not 100% clear, but the case seems to have been that they were going to be living in the same house. The landlord was renting an apartment in his house, part of his house, a basement or something. He was renting part of his house to the tenant and his wife. The landlord's objection was, I don't want you coming in with your sickness and getting me sick. Nevertheless, the Ramah ruled in favor of the tenant. Why? So most of the tshuva in the Ramah is devoted basically to establishing the principle in Sif Aleph that when you sign a contract, the contract is binding no matter what, no matter what argument the masker has, no matter how good a reason things change, circumstances change, it doesn't matter. Once you sign the contract, just like if you sold something, you could have all the reasons in the world, the sale is binding and no refund, you can't reverse a sale. So too, the fundamental principle of Schirus, that doesn't always apply, but it applies in this case, is that Schirus Yom Memkarhu, that it's like a sale, you can't reverse it simply because you have a problem and things are not going the way you want it. The Ramah, though, has the last paragraph of the Tshuva, the Ramah says something very strange, very difficult to understand. The Ramah says, everything I've written until now is, even if we accept, we take for granted the landlord's basic contention that the tenant's disease is contagious, even so, it wouldn't be grounds for breaking the lease because leases are absolutely binding. However, the Ramah says, I don't accept the whole premise anyway. He says diseases are not contagious. It's just people who are timid and hypochondriac who think like that. Diseases are not contagious, he says. Hashem is the mochets and the rofe. Everything is min hashamayim. The only disease that's contagious, he says, is balei rasa. The Gemara says a certain disease called rasa, and sometimes implied it's a form of teras, but whatever it is, there's one particular disease called balei rasa which is contagious. While other diseases are not, as proof the Ramah brings, he says, the Torah has a mitzvah of bikur cholim, visiting the sick. We don't find distinctions, he says, in the laws of bikur cholim between contagious diseases and non-contagious diseases, and therefore, halacha, he says, does not generally recognize the idea that diseases are contagious, and therefore, the tenant anyway can stay, and the landlord has no right to object. So, there are some achronim who accept this, the Knesset Gedolah. However, other achronim have rejected the Ramah entirely, both what he says about landlord-tenant, as well as what he says about Bikur Cholim. But Bikur Cholim, other achronim said, it's absolutely not true. Of course, ordinary civilians shouldn't be risking their lives to visit people with deadly and contagious diseases. Shulchan Gavoa says, it's absolutely not true, it's not the custom, he says, regular civilians, not ordinary people don't visit people who are sick with contagious diseases. He says, for that, we don't just leave them unattended. We do have squads, he says, of specially compensated or specially trained. I think he says specially compensated people whose job it is to do that, but ordinary people don't visit them. Now, al-pi halacha, you have to understand what the justification for that is. Why, just because they're compensated, does the halacha change? We would discuss occasionally the idea that elif who knows yes nafsho, you're allowed to risk your life to make a living. Some posts can say that about doctors. In general, have a special dispensation for a number of reasons why doctors might be allowed or even obligated to treat sick patients. But in any event, the basic thing, Shulchan Gavah explicitly rejects the Ramah and says that we don't accept this idea that halacha certainly does recognize that diseases are contagious. And Rav Chaim Palagi has a long and very interesting tshuva on the topic. In his case, there was this heroic doctor who was treating plague patients. And he wanted to go to shul. And the other members of the shul said, you can't come in, Harry. You know, you're probably carrying who knows what. You know, we don't want you might touch us. You know, we don't want to go near you. He said, well, I'm a member of the shul too, and I have the right to come to shul. So they said, no, you can't come to shul. You're going to get us all sick. And if you must come to shul, at least we want to build you a special machitza. You want to put you behind a little partition to keep you away from us. So who's right? So Rav Chaim Palagi basically rules in favor of the shul. He says it is true that a person has no right to harm other people, whether it's by physically hitting them or by giving them diseases. That alamazik laharkas atma in such a case, he says, you have no right to bring harm on someone else. And so now he says the only question is, are diseases contagious, and are you bringing harm by entering? If you're a carrier, by entering a shul, or by coming into contact with people, and the answer he says is yes, you are. He brings various proofs from Rishonim and Achronim. The halacha does generally accept the idea that diseases are contagious. He brings primarily from Rishonim. He brings a well-known Ramban, Al HaTorah, that the Ramban says this in a few places, but the Ramban says on Parshas Vayera that Lot was instructed to run, and his wife to run, and to not look behind them. And the Ramban explains that the idea of not looking behind them was an idea of avoiding contagion. The Ramban's contagion was not quite the same as our contagion. The Ramban's contagion was even by sight, he says, you can contract diseases, and even by machshava, even by thinking about the disease, you can get infected. So again, certainly the Rishonim didn't have the same understanding of the mechanisms of disease contagion and transmission, and the vectors, as we call them, that we do today. But the basic idea of contagion, I don't know what Rav Chaim Palagi believed or knew about contagion, but the basic idea, borne out by empirical evidence, that physical proximity or contact is going to cause disease, they certainly understood. And the Rav Chaim Palagi says, we have the Ramban, and we have Rabbeinu Bachya, and we have the Tzioni, Rav Nachman Tzioni. Three Rishonim will all say the same thing, he says. So Mela, the Achronim must not have seen that. They don't bring that. They wouldn't have said what they said had they seen the Rishonim. So Rav Chaim Palagi concludes the halacha definitely does recognize disease as being contagious. Even Tzaraas, as we've discussed elsewhere, some Rishonim seem to say was a contagious disease, the Tzaraas of the Parshas Tazria Metzora. But in any event, diseases in general are contagious, and Rav Chaim Palagi, therefore, also he points out that some Achronim reject the Ramah that Bikur Cholim. They're not discussing primarily this tshuva about Tzchirus, but the Ramah, certainly this, again, the Ramah's argument is not largely based on this, but the primary argument is that a contract is binding no matter what. You leave if you don't want to get sick, but don't tell him to leave. But this last point to the Ramah, that he doesn't accept diseases are contagious, and that's part of the reason for his ruling, is a problematic one, and that is rejected by at least some Achronim. The Nesivos, very short Nesivos, the Nesivos brings the Ramah and tells you that he's talking about a contagious disease, which the Shach left out. Then the Nesivos says, even insofar as we accept the Ramah, he says, but if the contagious disease was already, the tenant or his wife was already infected at the time of the signing of the lease, then it would be a mechachtos. So,
pre-existing condition?
Yeah. Pre-existing condition would be grounds for mechatos. So, a little hard to understand. If you really accept that last paragraph of the Ramah, that one of his arguments is he doesn't believe that contagion is a real thing, then I'm not sure why it would qualify as a pre-existing condition. You could argue that since people believe it's contagious, that itself makes it a mum. We learned mechatos. We spent a lot of time discussing what's the definition of a mum. So you could argue that even if objectively it's not a problem, but if people think it is, maybe that itself is grounds to be a mum, I'm not sure. Or it could be, perhaps, and the Siva did not accept that last paragraph of the Ramah. He was passing like the Ramah, but largely for the first reason of the Ramah, that a contract itself, once signed, is binding. If things change afterwards, that's not grounds for breaking the contract. But if the disease was already present before, that's an undisclosed pre-existing defect, undisclosed problem, and that certainly is grounds for being oker. And that would make a lot of sense if you assume that he didn't necessarily accept that last paragraph of the Ramah, which, again, is not certainly not impossible, because there are Achronim who do, and certainly that last part of the Ramah does not really jive with our understanding of disease. For the remaining time here, I want to discuss a later sif, very important point, just scratch the surface of this, but this is something which is, this is a principle, a debate, which extends literally throughout Chash and Mishpat. A tenant who leaves early, Sif Zion, later in the Siman, a tenant who leaves early when he's not supposed to. The later halachas in this week's in the curriculum of this week discuss how much notice the landlord or tenant have to give each other before leaving. The basic rules are you have to give enough time for a placement to be found. The landlord has to give the tenant enough time to find a new place. Tenant has to give the landlord enough time to find a new tenant. So neither party should be stuck abruptly without alternate arrangements. The question is, what happens, let's say, if the tenant leaves? He's not supposed to leave. So what happens if the tenant actually leaves without giving sufficient notice, and because of that, the landlord is stuck having the property empty without a suitable tenant, and he therefore loses revenue due to the period that the place is empty? So we have a machlokas between the Shar Mishpat and many other achronim. The Peskei Tshuva, Nachos Tzvi, the Erech Shai, Jura Shai, the Divrei Gaonim at least, other Sfarim. The Shar Mishpat on one side says, Potter, the tenant is not supposed to leave, but if he does, b'di'eved, there's no liability. Well, these other achronim say, Chayev. Why does the Shar Mishpat say Potter? So the answer is because the principles that we've discussed in the past, the idea of Grama. Grama ben Izakin is Potter. Even if you do something that's not nice, that's wrong, that's usher, the Gemara says Grama ben Izakin is usher, you're not allowed to do it. The Shar Mishpat agrees you're not allowed to leave without giving him time to make other arrangements. But if you do, what's the worst you've done? You've been Gorim a Hezek. You've caused indirectly that he should have a Hezek. You've caused him a loss in revenue. Not even actual Hezek. You've caused him a loss in future revenue. So the Shar Mishpat says that is only Grama. He brings an example from Hilchos Gzeila, a kind of similar din, where if you have a house that you're using or that you're renting out, and I chase you out, I seize control of your house, I prevent you from using it, I prevent you from renting it. So in certain cases, if I actually live there, I may be chaya for Nana, because I benefited from it, but if I don't, if I'm not Nana, I don't use it myself, I just maliciously, vindictively stop you from using it and stop you from benefiting it and stop you from renting it, I will not be chaya. I did an Avera, I did wrong, I was Garim you a Hezek, but nevertheless, b'di'eved, Grama's Potter, Grama ben Izakin is Potter. Shar Mishpat says, here too, the tenant who left early without giving proper notice is also a Grama. He's not worse than a Gazlan. He's not worse than the Gazlan who took away the house and prevented the landlord from deriving benefit from it. At the end of the day, he might be a Gazlan, he might be a Mazlik, but he's only a Garim. In terms of the Hezek that he caused, he's giving back the house Ben, and normally a Gazlan who gives back the property is off the hook. Once you give it back, you're Potter. And the fact that you lost revenue, you had a Hezek, is only Grama, so that's the sheet to the Shar Mishpat. That Grom ben Izakin is Potter. The other Akronim say Chayev. They argue the Rosh himself, the Shulchan Aruch din is based on a Rosh, and the Rosh is Mashma that you're Chayev. So the other Akronim say you're Chayev. Why you Chayev? So here we have we don't have any agreement on what the theory to be Chayev is. There are at least three different Svaras, three different Shitas for why you should be Chayev. Some want to learn, perhaps the most obvious, the simplest thing to learn, is that whenever we say the word Grama, we know the flip side of Grama is Dina de Garmi. We passing like Rameir, who's Doan Dina de Garmi. Garmi is also a form of Grama, but you're Chaya for Garmi. There's a tremendous amount of debate in the Rishonim and Achronim, what the definition of Grama, what the definition of Garmi is, how are they different, and why you Chayev. But briefly, for our purposes, suffice it to say, there is a category of Grama, at least the way most Poskim understand, there is a subcategory of Grama called Garmi, a more immediate, a more direct, a more serious form of Grama, whatever the criteria are, whatever the definition is, there's a type of Grama for which you're Chayev, and this case falls into that category. It's definite and certain and immediate, and whatever the standards are, this is a form of Grama for which you're Chayev. It's called Dina de Garmi. That is one approach. The second approach is that this din has nothing to do with Mazik, with Grama, with Garmi, totally different theory. The reason you're Chayev is because you're a tenant. You're a tenant, you enter the premises originally with a promise to pay rent for every per unit of time that you stay. And to the extent that you don't give notice, what you're doing is extending your lease. You're implying that you're staying there longer. By staying past a certain point without giving notice, by leaving without giving notice, if you need to give, let's say, a month notice, what that means is that any day that you're there, you're implicitly saying, I'm taking it for at least one more month. So the mechayev is chiris. You simply have an implicit extension of the lease at any point in time. It's kind of a rolling extension. The extension is to the point at which I would have to give notice. Or there's another case the post can talk about where all the house leases occurred on one day of the year or one period of time. And if you miss that time, then it's going to be empty for the rest of the year. So by not leaving during that period, you're implicitly saying that you're extending your lease for the next year because you know that you won't be able to find a tenant. By you not telling him that to find a tenant during that period, you're tacitly accepting it you're rolling it over for the next period. So the Mechayev is not Mazik, it's not Garmi, it is Chirus. The third theory is that preferred by the Erech Shai and the Tzura Shai is a Shita of the Ritva, which we've discussed in the past. It's a very fundamental, yesodistic, albeit controversial Ritva. The Ritva says, the Ritva espouses a doctrine which in law would be called reliance damages, that any time I promise to do something to you, and you rely on me, and you make commitments, you commit yourself in such a way that if I don't go through on my promise, you're going to have a loss. We discuss cases where I promise you I'll deliver merchandise. So you hire donkeys or trucks to pick it up, and I don't come through, and you have a truck bill for nothing then. So there's an idea that you're chayev. Why are you chayev? Some poskim say garmi, or other reasons. One of the ideas is the ritva. If I make a promise to you, I commit myself to you, and you rely on the promise, and you act on it, then the Ritva says that itself is chayiv. The model is arvus, he says, just like a guarantor of a loan, he's the guarantor, the arev, tells the bank, tells the malva, you lend money, rely on me. And the fact that the bank relies on you, you become chayiv to make sure that the malva doesn't have any harm. The Ritva generalizes this idea, anytime I promise to do something to you, and I don't come through, deliberately, negligently, I don't come through, I'm going to be chayiv because you relied on me. So the Erech Shai says, so too here. The tenant is basically, when he enters the premises, is committing implicitly, al pi halacha, is committing to give proper notice. The landlord relies on his getting notice to know when to start looking for a tenant. And therefore, if by failure to give notice, he's failing to live up to the expectations the other guy has on him, that becomes a chiyuv of arvus. So we have three approaches. The idea of mazik, of garmi, the idea of an extension of the schirus, and the idea of arvus because the landlord has been relying on you.